I'm your host, Sean Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and Charlie's getting our next guest lined up. We had a great first hour, by the way. If you missed that first hour and you'd like to re-listen to it, you sure can on our podcast. Just go to the website, rushtoreason.com, find the podcast there, and you can re-listen. Piece of cake.
Yep.
All yours are up, by the way, from last week. By the way, thanks for doing last week for me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you bet. It's an honor. It's fun to fill in.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I know that...
It's always enlightening for me to see how many balls you juggle in the air while you do this.
Just a few.
Just a few.
You get used to it, though.
Yeah.
And Rob, fun, I know though. Rob from Mighty Hand helped one day, too. So I want to say thanks to Rob as well.
Oh, he did
a
great job.
You guys are a great team, by the way.
Yeah.
I got a chance to listen to a little bit of that on the podcast. You guys do a good job. So thank you very much.
Well, if I do it again, I'll bring him in.
He's a really good guy. So, by the way, Mighty Hand Construction, we'll talk about them here as we go through the show as well. If you need anything done around the house, he's your guy. So they really do a great job. So at any rate, Charlie's getting our guests lined up. If he does not get our guests lined up, we will just continue on. Real quick, I do want to add something to what we were talking about there with Jordan Goodman a few minutes ago. And Andy and I were talking about this at the top of the hour a little bit. And I didn't mean to, you know, step on Jordan's toes, but the reality is I'm not going to use China as a success story in overcoming COVID. First of all, they created the bloody thing.
True.
And released it on the world.
True.
I'm not giving them any credit whatsoever ever for anything they've done.
Well, there's that. And also, look,
I can't
you're
trust
talking,
them.
Yeah. You can't compare America to China for two reasons. Number one, America, we actually know our numbers, whereas in China, they've been completely hidden. And I mean incredibly hidden.
You think ours are out of whack?
We're
not even close to theirs.
Well, I'll get to ours in a sec, but we don't even have a clue how many people have really died in China. I guarantee you, we do not have a clue. And secondly, John, here in America, we are calling everything a COVID death. Do you think they're doing that everywhere in the world? No, they are not.
No, and to your point, I mean, we've got issues with some of our numbers as well that we don't know what's, you know, actually, how should I say this? We know, and I've never been despite what some people might think, I'm not a COVID denier. Is
no,
COVID real?
No, no.
Absolutely, positively, it's a real thing.
Of course.
Do I think the vaccine is the fix-all? Absolutely not. Do I think it might help? Yeah, anytime you can improve consumer confidence, I'll be honest with you, folks, I don't even care if that vaccine is a placebo and it makes people think they're more protected from COVID. Great. More power to them. Let's move on.
I'm just going to say right out, I'd be fine with that, John, because I don't care.
I don't either.
Okay? I don't care
and
because...
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, so, you know, more power to you.
As I stated from the report out of Johns Hopkins last week, roughly the same number of Americans have died this year as past years. They've simply shifted what the cause is.
They've just moved it around, that's all.
Yeah.
Right.
The major causes, the three, four major causes, have all been dropped dramatically in numbers. They filled it in with this.
All right, We've got our guest up now, Thomas Steading. Thomas, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. Now, new book out, Real Teams, I should say, Win, What Smart Leaders Need to Know About Achieving Performance. You're a Silicon Valley CEO expert, if you would, that actually grew up in the business there. Tell us a little bit about not only that, Thomas. I guess first things first, I always ask, why'd you write the book? What made you do that?
Well, this is curious. Interest my entire career over decades about what kind of leadership really works. And so I tried everything. I'm a slow learner, so I tried various things. And every 10 years, I seemed to learn something more about it. I started out as I described myself as a recovering geek. I did a PhD in EE at Berkeley.
Gotcha.
And so that was control theory, which doesn't help very much. You know, neither control nor optimal are relevant factors in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 years later, that company sent me back to Stanford as a Sloan Fellow for a year in the School of Business. I learned about strategy, and I thought, this is great. This is how to do leadership. But that's limited because... If you can have great strategy, but you've got to get people to go along with it, and it's hard to run an organization without people.
Right.
So then I kept going from there, and eventually I would describe the whole process as a journey in depth, getting deeper and deeper into the emotional life of the team and understand that's where the real action is. And so that's what led me to eventually get to a set of practices and principles that were, and felt like I had to write it up in a book, and then that's what resulted in this book. So.
Well, Thomas, you've seen so many workplaces, so many teams, so many settings, and I just want to know, what kind of aspects, what kind of things do you see that generally will push a company forward, or it's going to hold it back, to where you can just see it coming? You see them, okay, they're this way, I know they're going to falter. They're this way, I know they're going to succeed.
Great questions. Exactly what the book's about. First of all, I would make a distinction, which the book does, between real teams and pretend or fake teams.
Sure.
So I've been CEO of 13 startups. It's obsessive compulsive mental disorder, but I've not been able to kick it. But
that's good.
Some cases I would go in. You
they've
know,
got a vaccine for that coming out. Just
yeah.
So you know.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm looking good, for that.
Good one.
But so in some cases, I would take over a company that's been running for a couple of years, and sure. I would go in, and they would say, oh, we're a team, and so forth. And under closer examination, you discover they don't talk to each other, they don't trust each other, they don't like each other, and there's slippage and toxic gossip and a culture characterized by fear. So almost the predominant case is that it's a fake team. So the real team you create by implementing, and which is what the book, the promise of the book and the art form, is you create, you implement the new leadership model, which is based on the organization as a network of nodes, a fluid dynamic network, interconnected, and the paths between them are not reporting relationships as much as open channels of creative communication in a high trust, low fear environment. So what you're trying to do is you create a system in which people can feel connected, inspired, able to contribute, recognized, and not put down for bad ideas and all that kind of stuff. So you can pick up on this pretty quickly by looking at an organization and talking to a few people, without actually having an instrument or some quantitative measure. You just know it intuitively. You can see it, you can smell it. So
when you talk about real teams versus the fake teams, when you actually end up with a real team, what's one of the best ways to model leadership to them or get them going in the direction you want them to go as a leader?
So you train them. The book has three principles and four practices. It's also it has a depth perspective. So one of the items we talk a lot about is the hidden factor, what we call the hidden to be revealed. These are the unacknowledged factors under the surface that people aren't talking about, but it's actually driving outcome. And I've never seen a situation where there's not some factor like that at work. The other thing is we introduced the mindset layer. So in high tech eventually got around to understanding the importance of culture. And that was, I think, an advance, and would say now that culture eats strategy for lunch. And I think that's true, because if you have a great strategy, like my Stanford experience, but if you don't have a good culture, it's not going to work. Mm. So you can predict failure. But the problem with culture is that people don't know how to talk about it. They describe it as pizza for Friday lunch, or we don't do politics, or other factors that are not actionable. What the book introduces is the mindset layer that sits below culture and determines culture. So, in fact, the book suggests that you cannot really talk about culture without first talking about mindset. Mindset's what's going on in the heads of the leaders.
Sure.
And we now say mindset eats culture for breakfast. So you get down, there are four dimensions of mindset, archetypal dimensions that we use: courage, relatedness, agility, and awareness. And you can score a team intuitively on those four dimensions and get a very good handle on what's going to happen in terms of performance and outcome. It's been a very reliable indicator over more than a decade of use.
Nice.
Hey, so, Tom. Sorry. If you let's say you're walking into a company and you look at the leadership there, what would you say is a really good way they could view those who are working under them, and what would be a bad way that they could view those who are working under them?
The first step might be to spend an hour with each of about six or seven key executives, including the leader. And what you can pick up on quickly is whether is ego, the level of ego in the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The myth of narcissists, which is in the book, points out that the problem with narcissism is that people don't take input. So if you're talking to somebody who's a know-it-all and is putting on a show and obviously is not very good about hearing other people's points of view, you got a problem. And you can pick that up very quickly. You're looking for people that seem comfortable in their own skin. Mm. And the competence is assumed, technical competence is assumed if they've got in the positions they're in. But can they really relate to other people? Can they collaborate without dogmatic thinking? You know, can they hear other person's point of view, even though they may not agree with them at the outset, but they're willing to listen and to work with them collaboratively? Those are the kinds of factors that really matter.
Good stuff. And where do folks buy the book at, Tom?
It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's on Australian and Canadian booksellers as well.
Great.
And I can be reached, Tom, at realteamswin.com, so I'm happy to talk with anybody about the book.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. No, appreciate that very much. Real Teams Win, What Smart Leaders Need to Know About Achieving Performance. Tom, I appreciate it very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening. And again, Thomas Stedding, and that's a Silicon Valley turnaround expert. Ascentel Center is up next, folks. Dr. Julie Marchio, she'll join us tomorrow for Health and Wellness Wednesday. In the meantime, if you need anything, especially if you're trying to take some weight off before we get into Christmas or even after that, talk to Julie now. Figure out what your best options are, 303-343-8800, or find her at ascentelcenter.com.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascent Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit rushtoreason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Governor Polis restricts and decimates Colorado businesses, then calls a special legislative session to authorize more government spending, your money, and expansion of government. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Colorado State Representative Mark Baisley shares what happened during last week's special session. Author and researcher Patty Kurgan updates us on the presidential battleground states. Boulder County GOP Chair Teresa Watson expounds on Boulder County's election oddities. Kim Munson sponsor Lauren Levy will be in studio to co-host the show. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, and Charlie Grimes behind the glass. John, Dr. Stedding, I call him Doctor, whether he is or isn't, I call him Doctor because he sounds like one. He really hit on some good points. I want to ask you a couple things here.
Sure.
Okay. You go into a lot of businesses and you have to deal with the corporate culture that is going on there. What is a strong leader to you? When can you, if you walk in, what do you see in a leader that you're immediately having warning signs go off?
I think, and he said this a moment ago, leaders that aren't willing to listen.
Right.
Leaders that don't. And be careful how I say this, because there's a difference between teaching and, you know, instructing and so on. In other words, I think a leader that knows they have limitations in certain areas and then can shore themselves up in those areas. So, for example, I'll give you my example. I'm an awful teacher. I'll be the first to admit it. I know it. I can coach, but I can't teach. I am somebody that's pretty much self-taught. If I want to learn something, I go do it. I figure it out. And off I go, and unfortunately, I teach in very much the same way. I suck at it. I'll be the first to admit it.
You don't want Michael Jordan teaching someone a jump shot. He's too natural.
Correct.
So, he doesn't have to fight through the steps.
So what I, in my world, have to do is find those individuals that do a good job of teaching said item that needs to be instructed to those that need to understand that particular area of the business. So I think, to your point, leaders need to know, A, their own limitations, be willing to admit those limitations, and not be afraid of those, and shore those limitations up in other ways. On the same token, I think they do need to have some confidence. They need to know where their strengths are, do it in such a way where they're not a narcissist or an egomaniac like he just mentioned a moment ago, and always be willing to ask questions in the right manner of those that are around you. And I just had this conversation earlier with a client of mine today, you also need to be willing as a leader to find those things people do right on a regular basis and lift them up accordingly.
Got to reward that.
You need to reward them, even if it's just verbally by saying, Andy, what a great job you did today. Really appreciate that. And, you know, and not in a cheesy...
You've never said that.
No, I never have. But no. And not do it in a cheesy, weird way, but do it in a way where you know it's genuinely coming from that person that's at the top. And by the way, this is true for anybody in the organization that's over and above other individuals that they're either monitoring, managing, or leading.
Let me take a look at the market. And I'm going to take a shot at both a lot of businesses and the Colorado Republican Party. Hey. Oh,
perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. But what I mean is this, John. So often we take what we want, what matters to us, and we want to demand that the market like it.
It doesn't work that way, folks. In fact, anybody that's worked retail, which, by the way, I think that's the problem we've got in the Republican Party in our state, is they don't understand retail, because you can't do what you just said in retail. You'll fall flat on your face.
Right.
You can't do that.
Well, for instance, as you know, I'm a big Liberty guy. I'm a Tea Party guy and so forth. But I go to a lot of these meetings and I hear what they are demanding our politicians, our candidates be. And I'm like, you know, I love all that. I agree with all that. But you are demanding this person in a purple district.
Well, thank you.
You can't sell that to that thing.
I wanted
you
to explain. Yes. And I would answer what you just said with a yes, but.
Go ahead.
A yes, but is, if that candidate's in an area where that doesn't sell well, and it's not going to get the candidate elected, and I'm not saying we get rid of any of our principles. Please, folks, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you've got to put people into the roles that they're best suited for, and in this case, best sellable for.
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, but both the party, and now let's get back to business for a moment, they're going to look at you, John, and they're going to say, you are compromising the vision of our business. Forget the party for a moment. Well, but the vision of our business is this, John, and you're compromising the vision. The vision is this, and you're looking at them and saying, no, I love the product. You're not marketing it to the market you have.
And by the way, many businesses have failed off of what you just said.
Right.
And what I mean by that is they may build the best widget known to mankind, but if it's not meeting the demand of the people that are actually trying to buy said widget, it's not going to sell. And or if it's priced, you know, maybe it's the best widget known to mankind, but only half of 1% of the population can afford it. Do you think they're going to stay in business? Depends on their model, what their costs are, and how willing they are to actually sell one product at a very high price.
Okay. Real quick here, I totally agree. Let's look away for a moment from the overall vision and the product. Let's look at your people again.
Okay.
How do you recognize a cancer on the team?
Oh, geez. That's pretty easy.
Okay. What characteristics do they have?
Constantly complaining, constantly whining, typically not showing up on time. The people that just no matter what happens, I mean, you could hang them with a new rope and they'd still complain. Those are the individuals that are cancers.
Okay.
Get it?
Yes.
I mean, they just, no matter what you do for them, you could give them a $100 a day raise and they'd still find something to complain about.
Yeah, basically you can't trust them.
Correct.
And the trust is built by two things, someone's character and someone's capability.
And
in other words, can they do the job and can you trust them
right.
to do it honestly? And if in either way you can't trust them as a leader or as a coworker, you know, somebody, teammate.
Right. Coworker. Then
they're a cancer. They're going to turn people against people. They're going to play the lawyer politics behind the scenes stuff.
And just as a side note, really quick, in the automotive world, what you just mentioned is, and I think it's just the nature of the beast, auto technicians typically tend to be very cancerous. So sorry, auto technicians, for me saying that, but a lot of you would probably know with what I just said.
Really?
And you want to know why?
No. I mean, yes, I do. I just can't believe it. Go ahead.
Because auto technicians are trained to fix things. So they're constantly critiquing and figuring out what's wrong with something. Unfortunately, they do that throughout most of their life, including their workplace. So they're constantly critiquing, picking at, and just sort of nitpicking everything around them on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis.
Okay.
Them very cancerous, by the way.
Then let me ask you a tough question.
Yeah.
Do you see that also affecting their family lives?
Oh, yeah. There's hardly a auto technician out there that doesn't have at least one wife, if not two or three.
How many do you have again?
Too many.
Mine has several personalities.
I'll be the first to admit, years and years ago, I was very much the same person I can speak to this because I was very much that same person because that's my mind.
I
want to fix everything. So when you get into any situation, you're constantly going to be digging at it to try to figure out what's it take to fix this. And as a leader for me personally, I had to back away from a lot of that and say, wait a minute, time out. First of all, I can't fix everything. I can fix the things that are most important that make the wheel run the best it possibly can, but you're never going to ever have a perfect operation in anything you ever do. You've got to be willing to accept certain failures, if you would, or a certain amount of inefficiencies, I guess you could say, and realize that you're never going to get to 100%. Because that leader that wants everything to be 100% is probably one of the most frustrated leaders on the planet because they're never going to get there and their people never will for sure.
I agree. Okay, time for one more?
Go ahead.
Okay, rewards. What are your thoughts on team versus individual rewards for performance? Because obviously, if you have all team rewards, then you're going to have individuals who slack and basically ride the rest of the team. But if you only have individual rewards, then you're pitting the team against each other, and they're going to be sniping at each other constantly.
Well,
where do you come down?
In my feeling on that is how you deal with the team versus the individual reward is, first of all, you need to pay your team members enough money to where they do feel like they're a part of the team. And then reward individually based upon individual performance, because I am a really big one on rewarding individually for performance, and I love performance-based pay. I hate the team method because you're always going to have somebody slacking and somebody on the team feeling like they're doing more than the next. The old 80-20 rule, it applies everywhere. The 80-20 rule is 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
True.
20% of your customers bring in 80% of your revenue.
I've always been in the 20% everywhere I've worked.
Well, and I am the same, and that's just the way things are. So if you're that 20%er on that team that's getting team rewards, you're never, as a 20%er, going to feel rewarded correctly because you're doing far more than everybody else on the team is.
And you just explained your economic theory. That's why you hate socialism.
That's
because
right.
You're going to create a group of people who are going to be very embittered and a group of people who are going to be very dependent.
And by the way, we talked about that with Jordan Goodman when it comes to people that are moving out of areas, out of inner city areas, out of California, moving to other places, yet leaving behind those same very people that the socialists or communists are trying to quote-unquote help. The reality is they're just building the chasm farther and deeper than it's ever been before.
Yeah, there's no one left to pay the bills.
Thank you.
because the people who do the work to pay the bills
left.
Most of these people who are very rich, John, yes, I understand. Some of them just hit on something while working in their garage.
Yeah,
but for the most part, they're workaholics.
Most of them got there by working their way there.
Right.
There are those silver spoon individuals that inherited it, or they got lucky one day and they hit it big, or they won their,
and most
not necessarily
them,
lottery, but you get where I'm going with that. They hit something big and made a fortune, and they're not the ones we're talking about.
And most of them are named Hunter.
With the last name Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, you're going to have the Hunter Bidens in life, but for the most part, you're going to have the people who are workaholics, and they don't like...
Slackers.
They don't like slackers. No. They don't like everybody sharing
slackers.
In their rewards.
They hate slackers. So yeah. If you really want to get, you know, and by the way, this is why I love the automotive world to a large extent, because for the most part, not every shop, but the majority of shops out there pay their technicians what we call flat rate pay. And I don't want to get into all the details of that. Some people don't think it's a fair way to charge a consumer, but I would totally disagree. I think it's the best way to charge a consumer. Flat rate pay means, Andy, that if it takes you 2.5 hours. So if a job is billed 3 hours, whether you as a technician get it done in 1.5 hours or 3.5 hours, you get paid 3. The incentive for you as a technician is to get better, get faster, buy the right tools, get the right training, and get that job done in 2 hours instead of 3, thereby getting a bigger paycheck at the end of the week.
But what happens if this guy's going too fast and he's racking up mistakes?
Well, then we have a policy in the shop whereby he has to redo that job again for free and he doesn't get paid. So there's incentive to do it right the first time.
Good. No, I like that. I just wanted to throw that in.
It's hard to get it taken. By the way, not good question, but not hard to get that handled. And anyways, best performance-based pay on the planet, by the way.
Do you generally find that the team likes those kinds of systems?
If you do it right,
is there buy-in?
If you do it right as a leader, yes.
Okay.
Well, good questions, by the way. John and Cheyenne, hang tight. We'll come right back and talk to you. It's a great topic, by the way. Andy, thanks for asking all those. I do appreciate that. Mighty Hand Construction's next. Rob was on with Andy at Mighty Hand here this last week. Great guy, by the way. Just a great company. And they're one of those companies where you never have to worry about having somebody on site and trusting them to do your work. That's Mighty Hand Construction. Find them at klzradio.com or 970-844-9191.
You will get burned looking for the cheapest option. Micah Applegate and his team at Mighty Hand Construction find that a lot of homeowners don't understand the true value of a reliable contractor. Suppose you try to manage your own remodeling project and the guy working on your basement botches the job. Now it's up to you to make him fix it or find someone else to correct his mistakes. You call company after company asking for estimates and no one will call you back. Then once they finally do get back to you, they expect you to do most of the work yourself, including coming up with the actual construction plans. It's like they don't want your money. As a local full-service construction company in Northern Colorado, Mighty Hand operates character first, overseeing your entire project from beginning to end. Make sure you hire a contractor who will handle the process for you. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/mightyhand, honoring God, impacting customers.
And if you need a way to pay for some of those things we just talked about with Mighty Hand, Kurt from Affordable Interest Mortgage can help you with that. Or if you're looking for some investment property, second home, or just refinancing what you have, Kurt can help you with all of that. Call him at 720-895-0500, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
If you've been involved in any kind of an accident, folks, we've got a place to go. Don't listen to the insurance company. Go where you want to go get your car repaired. and that's a good shop. Three locations to serve you in North Denver, 720-541-7697, or find them at klzradio.com.
You don't want to feel like just a number. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop Collision Repair, offers a different experience from the corporate conglomerates. After 40 years in the auto body industry, Al has been hearing the same thing from his customers for decades. Everybody's looking for a good shop, somewhere you can find quality service in a timely manner without wondering whether or not you're being ripped off. It's hard to know what's going on when nobody will talk to you. Today, as the owner of three locations in North Glen and Commerce City, Al gives his customers exactly what they're looking for, an independent, family-owned collision repair shop where you're more than just a number. At a good shop, not only will the final product be flawless and safe, covered by a good shop lifetime guarantee, but Al and his team will actually take the time to communicate what's going on with your vehicle. Visit klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Does Reverend Warnock's position on Marxism seem mainstream to you or radical?
I love this Pope. He said, well, I'm not a Marxist, but I know a few Marxists, and they're pretty good people.
Direct question for you. Does that seem radical to you, or is it just me?
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, John and Cheyenne, you are up. What's going on, sir?
Hey, John, great subject. Great subject at the first hour. I wanted you to push back a little harder on, oh, God, I'm drawing a blank
Jordan.
On the guy at the, Jordan, because he, what he said, when he said, well, they're up and leaving, but they're taking their liberal views with them. All you have to do is point out state of Colorado.
Yes.
And say, you guys were a solid red state until California went to hell, and they all said, well, let's move to Colorado because it's so beautiful. And they destroyed your state.
Well, I mean, and, just, you know, and to
not
give,
the whole state.
And, that, and, you know, you're giving a lot of credit to all those Californians, and no offense, John, but I will go even back farther. And I've talked about this before, but I'll go back even a little bit farther and tell you that I think Colorado started to change when IBM from New York moved into the Boulder area clear back in the 60s.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
And then you add on, then you pile on that what you just said, and yeah, that's why we're a blue state now.
And, you know, a prime example is Hewlett-Packard is the one that's leaving Silicon Valley and going to Texas. If they bring their employees with them, well, are they going to bring their liberal views?
Of course they are. Yes, most, and then Texas and changes.
And you saw Texas in certain areas has changed a little bit. I mean, my wife's just, oh, my God, I haven't seen, that's as liberal as Brooklyn or, you know, L.A.
No, you know, you're spot on. You saw this, I think, even in the last election. And, you know, those areas, there are areas, is what I should say, in Texas whereby it's as liberal as it is in Colorado or more liberal.
Austin
being one of them, yeah.
Houston.
The whole Houston area is not much different. Dallas, I mean, what's happening, unfortunately, in Houston is much what's happened in a lot of other states. You're going to have these big central areas. I mean, I wish we had the Electoral College inside of states, because what's happening in most states, Colorado being one of them, is the outerlying areas have no say anymore.
No, none, and that's what's hard. As for the leadership thing, I learned this in the military years ago. If you have 10 guys that you got to supervise, 3 will always be here. This is what you got to do. They'll do it. You don't even have to check on them. 4 you'll have to check on so-so, and 3 you'll have to keep your boot in their butt.
Yeah.
On average.
Yeah, that's common.
Well, that's the 80-20 rule we talked about. Not much different.
Yeah. You know, and you always had that guy that just you had to constantly stay on his rear end. Otherwise, he wasn't going to do his job. And then you were the jerk.
Yep.
At the end of the day.
Yep.
Oh, that sergeant, he's a jerk. He's a, you know,
yeah, well,
and all the other. Andy and Andy knows it. He was in the Air Force.
Yep.
You hated being in a unit with those guys because they never carried their weight. You wound up doing half their work to get it done. And if you didn't, you know, then the whole squad, as you said, team rewards. Well, what's worse than team rewards is team punishment.
You know, John, and here's what also bothered, if I may, here's what also bothered me with those kinds of people. Not only were you carrying their workload, but it was because they knew who to schmooze.
Oh, yeah.
They knew who to drink with after work. They knew who to hang with. They knew who to compliment. They knew how to work it. And while they're working it, you're just working.
Exactly. And I don't know if they did this as much in the Air Force, but you'd get to the point where one of those guys, you'd have to take them behind a motor pool and explain the value of life to them.
Yeah, that happened in the Air Force, too.
That's good. Okay. That's good. John, anyway, good stuff, man.
Have a good one.
You too, man. Good stuff. I appreciate it. All right, something I wanted to add to what we were talking about earlier. We started talking about, you know, business things and so on has sort of been the topic this hour. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I put perspective into all the things that we do. And I will do that in all areas, even if it may not benefit the narrative on the conservative front.
All right.
For example, you will read some headlines, and I'm not saying these are headlines that are inaccurate, but I want to put perspective into every headline that comes out. There's headlines you're going to see. This one was on 9 News, I believe, last week. 800 small businesses closing each day. Okay? Quote, unquote. Yeah. Okay? And by the way, there are businesses that are closing. There's restaurants that are closing. There's retail places that are closing because of COVID and other things.
So that's nationwide.
This is nationwide, 800 small businesses closing each day.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, I get it. And, you know, I don't like any businesses closing. But, again, to put perspective into this, which you'll never get from the news media, the reality is 1 in 12 businesses close annually anyway, or about 6,600 per day across the country on an annual basis. We have about 30 million small businesses in this country and about 2.5 million businesses close each year. Now, here's how some of those closings break down. Recessions, of course, some of what we're going through right now with COVID. Age, some owners just get old, decide they're not going to do anything else. They're not going to sell the business. They're just going to close up. Some close to start new businesses. They're entrepreneurs. They get tired of one thing. They go do another. And some, by the way, just are underfunded from the get-go. That's why every new business that gets started is a huge risk for most banks and why banks are very stringent in who they will actually loan money to if you're a new startup, because it's very risky because they know on average most new businesses that start fail.
What about competition? New competition moves in.
It's not
down
on
the
list,
street.
But yes, that would be one as well.
Okay.
And buying habits of people change as well. Keep that in mind.
Certainly. What about this? What's the comparison to past years? So obviously, you always have businesses going out of business. This isn't the first time it's happened.
No, this is pretty average.
If I look at what Polis is doing to a lot of these restaurants, you and I both know hundreds and hundreds of these restaurants would not have gone out of business.
Agree.
Here in
Colorado. And by the way, and I'm not trying to downplay the 800. I just want to make sure we put perspective, because when most people would read that, they think, oh, 800 businesses a day are closing.
All because of COVID, they think.
And it may be part of it, and we don't want any business to close, but I'm just trying to put perspective in it that we lose over 2 million businesses a year in this country anyways.
How much worse do you think it is than normal?
It's worse, no doubt about it. You can look around and see the you know, store shuttered signs, the, you know, going out of business, we're selling off, you know. But on the same token, folks, there are cycles to everything. And there are cycles even in the business world. And I said this when COVID first came out, and I'm not trying to be rude or mean or crude or anything along those lines, but COVID is a defining moment for a lot of businesses. Did you have enough capital to make it through something like this? Now, when it comes to a restaurant where they just come along and arbitrarily shut you down and you have no ability to make money, that's tough, Andy. That's no fault of their own.
Okay, well, what about this? You talk about cycles. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the cycle coming out of COVID going up. We do have all this pent-up demand.
Tons of money on the sidelines.
Right.
Tons.
All
trillions.
This pent-up demand and money on the sidelines. So if you are somebody, you're an investor. Obviously, you're waiting. But are you looking at somebody who says, man, this is incredible. I got some great restaurant ideas. I want to open something, and I'm actually going to be at a huge advantage because I'm not open during COVID. I want to open at the tail end of COVID, and everybody else is going to be cratering, and you've got investment revenue. I mean, would you look at something like that? I'm not one of these, by the way. I have no restaurant.
Me personally?
I have no restaurant ideas whatsoever.
I just as a side note, my accountant and I are in lock, stock, and barrel on this. As much as I love going to restaurants and eating out, I'd never own one. Not in a million years.
Totally fair. But what I mean is there are restaurants that really flourish and prosper. Or forget restaurants, just various kinds of, you know, retail businesses.
Okay. Great question.
Coming Hold out of COVID, might it be good?
Hold that thought. That's a, by the way, great question. It's not on our notes, but let's cover it. Great, great topic.
Okay.
We'll come right back and we'll do that. Purified Chevrolet's coming up next. Great business, by the way, to buy a car, truck, SUV, you name it. You can buy one at Purified Chevrolet, whether it's a new or used vehicle, they've got you covered. Find them at purifiedchevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, would love to help you with all of your financial needs, and he's an advisor. That's what he does. He'll teach you and instruct you and help you get to where you're going and keep you there, much like a business coach. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Okay, so let's talk about things that might be coming up out of COVID, and it would be a good place to be if you want to own a business.
Right. First of all, it could be various kinds of industries that you see that are going to fill in some opening gaps, or could it be just ideas within a set industry, right? Because you've got a set industry, the restaurant industry. I know you wouldn't touch restaurants with the tent. I get that. Okay. But there are people who would. What if somebody just has a great idea for a restaurant? Coming out of this, you're suddenly going to have, what, a quarter, a third, a half of the restaurants gone, and somebody has a good...
Competition's way down.
Yeah, and somebody has a great idea with a restaurant, and here comes all this pent-up buying energy.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing. I think if I were advising a future restaurant owner, you know, I would make sure they've got all their ducks in a row, and just because you're a great cook doesn't mean you're going to be a great restaurant owner. So,
right.
In fact, you could be an awful cook and be a great restaurant owner and hire a great cook. So the reality is, just because you're a good cook doesn't mean you're going to make a great restaurant owner. Just like you could be a great automotive technician but not be a very good automotive shop owner. So just
Obviously.
Because you can fix a car doesn't mean you can run the shop.
Yeah, you do great food. How are you with suppliers? How are you with marketing? How are you with handling a team? How are you with, and you know, the list is endless.
And in most cases, I'll answer that by saying not very good.
Right.
Because it's typically not your forte. It's not what you're good at. There's a few exceptions to that, but not typically.
By the way, a little off topic, slight tangent. A lot of people are not good at management because they've risen up into management by being good at jobs that have nothing to do with management.
Well said.
They were good at doing tasks, a series of tasks, and because of that, they quote-unquote deserved the higher position, but they couldn't lead people.
Things that I would want to look at moving out of COVID, and am, you know, even personally am looking at, anything service oriented. I mean, doing things nobody else wants to do that they're willing to pay for. Yes. And by the way, those are not always things that are very glamorous.
Plumbing isn't going away, John.
Plumbing's not going away. You know, electricians aren't going away. You know, trash removal's not going away. Cleaning services with COVID and the fact it's going to be here for quite some time. Those things are not going away. Craig in Wheat Ridge, what's going on, sir? Hello,
there,
Craig.
John? Okay, now I got you. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I got only bits and pieces of your conversation with Jordan Goodman.
Sure.
Now, you kind of ended the conversation on a differing opinion, correct?
Jordan, I love Jordan, he loves me, but we don't always agree. Let's just say it that way.
Now, you probably, like I feel, that these measures they've taken to reduce the spread have become excessive. Correct?
They're draconian, yes, very excessive.
Yeah, you called them draconian. Now, he seemed to think that he kind of agreed with the terms that they've decided to fight this with, and he almost seemed to agree with how China handled it. Did I hear that correctly?
Jordan thinks because China's economy has come back strong that they handled things probably better than other countries, and that's where he and I differed.
He was praising California's measures,
yeah,
for
instance. And I just differ with Jordan in that area because I don't think that's helping anybody get back to any kind of normalcy and getting the economy back on track. And it's not. I think I'm right in what I'm saying. I'm not, I don't have to defend myself. I think you can look at the data and prove that.
Well, again, China's measures were very extreme, don't you think? I mean, are we willing to go that far?
Communist. So, no, I don't want to go there.
Well, and we keep coming back to the factor. How can we trust China's numbers?
You can't.
You say, well, their results are good because, well, you have no idea how many people died there.
You don't know squat about what goes on in China. No. Still don't know squat about what goes on in China.
No.
Well, that was going to be my main point. After I heard him say that, it's like, how can you trust anything that the Chinese government tells you?
You can't.
They control all their media. And again, China is communist. Like you said, China is China. And we have no idea the lengths they... And how do we know their economy has gotten better?
We don't.
They are so false
in what they give out as far as numbers and growth and their economic stability and so on. It's ridiculous. There's nothing that China says I would believe in, period.
Well, I hate going back to a documentary that I watched, and it was about Malcolm Brickland, the guy that developed a little sports car, and then he tried to co-op with China on the development of a little two-seater convertible to be sold in the United States in conjunction with the Chinese government, and they in no way were honest at any given point. I mean,
no, I don't know the story, but my guess would be, Craig, that they stole all of his ideas. That would be my guess.
Yeah, well, nothing ever got put down on paper. Yeah. There was always a handshake, a head nod. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And then he got nowhere with it. And the man was so frustrated when he got done dealing with that government. He just
I will continue to say this, and I will stand by this. There is not much that comes out of Asia that's intuitive or that's innovative is what I mean to say. Most everything that comes out of Asia, China included, is a copy of something else. They don't invent much of anything.
It's intellectual property theft.
They're very good at that. They are the pioneers of that, by the way. They do really well there.
Yeah, they disassemble it.
Yep.
They
reverse engineer is what we call it.
Yes, exactly.
All right, we got to run. Appreciate it, Craig. Thank you so much for the phone call. And with that, we've got Enchanted Kitchens coming up next. And yes, make that kitchen enchanted. Go to KLZ Radio. You can make chicken in the kitchen. There we go.
You have a fried kitchen.
That's right. KLZradio.com, 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens design team will make your ideas work beautifully. You're ready to move forward with your new kitchen design, but you're already worn out by all of the decisions. You've compared prices, you've collected photos online, but now you need help getting started. Let the Enchanted Kitchens design team take it from here. You could pick out new cabinets and countertops from any home supply store, and someone would probably come to your house one time to measure your space. But the Enchanted Kitchens design team will help you make your ideas work beautifully. That's the difference between trying to handle your own kitchen redesign and hiring the professional team of designers at Enchanted Kitchens. You will have an experienced guide to walk you elegantly through the process. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center. Find them now at klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Steve joining us now. Caller Steve, welcome. You got a minute, sir.
Hey, thanks so much, John. I just wanted to, I've been listening to the whole show, and I wanted to plug an old school business book that I really enjoyed.
Sure.
I was a small business guy, sort of like you, that did well. And my Bible for running my business was
Habits?
Steve Covey.
Yeah.
Seven habits of highly effective people.
Yeah, highly effective people. There you go.
That is also Bible for running an organization. I agree.
I'll tell you what, that guy was just rock solid.
He was.
And he sat on the board of Marriott and some big corporations.
Yes, he did.
And,
real quick, for those of you listening that are entrepreneurs, the other book, Steve, that is a really great book to read if you're thinking about getting into business or you've already gotten into one and are struggling is called E-Myth Mastery. It's a great book for business owners.
I'll write that down. I'm retired. But,
yeah, but read, you would enjoy it. It's a good read. If you've been successful in business, you'll read it and get a chuckle, and you'll really relate to it. It's a great book, Steve.
Thanks so much, and I really enjoy your program.
Thanks,
and,
Steve.
All the good people.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it very much. Thank you.
By the way, I trained and qualified as a facilitator for Seven Habits.
Awesome. It's a great series. It really is. Good
Love
stuff.
It.
Really good
Love
stuff.
It.
So we'll be right back, guys. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.